This is Gloria Loring, and you're listening to the positive psychology of pop music. You take the good, you take the
bad, you take them all, and there you have the facts of life. Hi there, welcome to a brand new episode of the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, the radio show and podcast that combines some of the most inspiring songs ever written with stories and insight from the artists that gave them to us. I'm Wesley Ryan, and this week, boy do I have a treat for you. Longtime listeners of the show, and anyone who's ever met me, are firmly aware of my love and adoration for the long-running soap opera Days of Our Lives. I've been lucky enough to interview several of my favorite cast members over the years, including Eric Martsoff, Jen Lilly, and Billy Flynn. But the singer and actress I'm chatting with this week is the one I've loved for the longest, and one who has brought much more than her Days of Our Lives character, Liz Chandler, into my life. She's responsible for one of my all-time favorite love songs, the theme song to one of my all-time favorite TV shows, and some of the most inspiring music and messages I've ever heard. Not to mention, she literally gave birth to another one of my favorite singers, and she's even indirectly responsible for getting me back together with my very first love, if only briefly. This very influential person in my life is none other than the very inspiring and talented Gloria Loring. And while we'll be discussing all of the ways she's impacted my life, and so many others, over the next hour, it's that personal story of karaoke romance that I had to share with her, and all of you, first. Yes, I need Well, the first thing I want to say to you is thank you. My very first boyfriend ever broke up with me, and I sang Friends and Lovers at karaoke and actually won him back. So thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
True story.
How long did it last after that?
You know, you gave me an extra month, so.
Just long enough to figure out this may not work after all. Okay.
Basically. But it was a great second month, so thank you.
Oh, that's sweet. That's very sweet.
You know, I still think that's just one of the most beautiful love songs ever. Why do you think that song really impacted people the way that it did?
I think because it's a very accessible idea. I mean, we want the person that we fall in love with because, you know, the chemical aspect of falling in love is one thing, but to have someone who treats you with respect and kindness and gentleness as a friend would is a very important thing. And we don't always get that in romantic relationships. Sometimes there's a lot of strife. So the idea that I'll be your friend and I'll be your lover, that sounds real good to, I think, most everybody.
Well, you know, I think that's a lot of why people love soap operas and Days of Our Lives so much too, is because it's a chance for that kind of idealized love. And I loved you so much as Liz Chandler. What are your thoughts on that time in Days history and in your life?
Oh, being on Days of Our Lives was just a great pleasure. It was so much fun. I had started on the road by myself as a singer when I was 18 years old with my music in hand, traveled everywhere by myself. And then later on, I got a musical director. But still, you know, it's a lonely life. You're away from friends and family. And to suddenly get a job in Los Angeles, where I lived, when I had a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I could go to work and be home by 6 and be with my kids and be in my own bed and have the fun and the camaraderie of a family of actors, was just, it was the best. It was just a blessing. Tonight I celebrate my love for you. It seems the natural. How do I get through one night without you? If I had to live without you. You just heard Gloria Loring's versions of Tonight I Celebrate My Love and How Do I Live, two more romantic tracks that have been heavily featured on Days of Our Lives. Now, as much as I loved Gloria on that show, and trust me, I did, I'm an even bigger fan of the motivational speaking and writing she's done over the years. You can find out all about her book, Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous, and all of her other inspiring projects and presentations at GloriaLoring.com. I was very interested in knowing what led her down the paths of psychology and philosophy, and the answers she gave were very familiar to me. You may relate to her journey as well,
And you may also connect with the next song I'll be playing, Gloria's Song of My Father. It's a perfect example of the insight she has on her own experiences and her ability to channel her emotions into a moving and inspiring song.
Well, I know you've done a lot of motivational speaking, and you talk some about the lessons you've learned from Days of Our Lives, but I also just love how much psychology and philosophy you work in as well. What led you to exploring those paths?
I think that my interest in philosophy and psychology comes from the fact that I had so much pain in my life. I mean, just interior pain. I didn't feel good enough in the world. And I know I was out on stage. That's one of the reasons I was on stage, was to try to be terrific and have people applaud me. And when I was on stage and being my very best as a singer, I knew who I was. But the minute I left stage, I wasn't as confident. And I started studying because I just made a decision at one point that I didn't want to be in pain anymore. And I wanted whatever it was that would get me to the point where I didn't feel so buffeted by anything that happened. Anybody could say something to me, or I just seemed to have no defenses against being tossed around like a rag doll emotionally. And it really did work. And I talk about this and how that all came to be in my book, Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous. I had a series of, and we all do, of these coincidings of meaningful events that led me where I needed to be, that were right for me, that gave me the information I needed to quell the pain, the emotional pain I was in. My dad was an alcoholic. There was stuff that went on that shouldn't have, you know. I mean, we all have things that we're vulnerable to. We all have ideas about ourselves that cause us to hurt. My own journey is detailed in that book. And then, by the way, that's a quote by Albert Einstein. Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. Such a brilliant quote. So that's why I studied all of that, and that's why I sought it out, and that's why I still seek it out. And I find at this point, after, you know, 30 years of study and implementation, I became a certified yoga instructor. I took a 12-year yoga philosophy course. I delved into it, and it helped me so much.
Well, I pursued a master's degree in clinical psychology for basically the same reason. I've always struggled with depression. So people would say, oh, are you studying psychology to help people? And I would say, yeah, but I'm going to start with myself, because it was really healing me first and foremost.
Well, the saddest thing is an unhealed healer. Mm. You know, we need to heal ourselves. We can't give away what we don't have. So you were very wise to understand that.
I wanted you to be my hero. I saw the way we were as low.
Well, I know that you spoke a lot about just those moments in your life, and I read that Lena Horne just had this huge hand in inspiring you. I was hoping you could tell that story.
Well, I went to see Lena Horne on, not on Broadway, but it was her Broadway show that was in Los Angeles, and I saw her up there just being this force of nature. She was free to move her body in the ways she had wanted to and sing any way she wanted. And I was still feeling somewhat constrained by being brought up with a Minnesota sensibility. You know, what will the neighbors think? Mm. And I remember thinking to myself as I watched her up there on stage, that's a whole other way to be a woman. You know, because I was brought up that you stand a certain way and you sit a certain way and you speak a certain way and you walk away and you talk this way and walk this way. And there was Lena Horne just letting it all out and just being free to be herself. And I thought, that's what I want to get to. She was the goal.
Believe what you feel and know you're right. Because the time will come around.
Now you can turn the page, you can turn the page now. You can turn the page, you can turn the page now. You can turn the page, you can turn the page now. You can turn the page, you can turn the page now. You can turn the page, you can turn the page now. You can turn the page, you can turn the page now.
Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, where this week we're spotlighting singer, songwriter, actress, author, motivational speaker, yoga instructor, philanthropist, mother, and just all-around amazing woman, Gloria Loring. We just heard the title track from Gloria's 1999 album, Turn the Page, a song that reminded me of the empowering spirit she shares with one of her biggest inspirations, Lena Horne. We're not quite done with Gloria's musical influences just yet, however, as there are two more incredibly talented women who've had a significant impact on her singing and songwriting. Before we check out their versions of Why Don't You Do Right and Over the Rainbow, let's let Gloria herself tell us who they are and what they've meant to her.
Well, you've certainly inspired people in your own way. Other than Lena Horne, who are some of your other musical influences?
Oh, my gosh. When I was a young girl, Peggy Lee was definitely an inspiration. The simplicity and the clarity with which she sang was so inspiring. Ella Fitzgerald, I loved the way she honored the lyrics and melody of a song, and then adding her own touch. I think those are the two biggest ones, Peggy Lee and Ella Fitzgerald.
You had a plenty of money, 1922. You let other women make a fool of you. Why don't you do right like some of the men do?
Birds fly over the rainbow, why then, oh, why can't I? If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I?
Those are great choices. And I know another inspiration for you has been your family. And I have to tell you, I was moved to tears. I was a wet, sobbing mess watching your son, Robin, do that Mother's Day tribute. It was just so beautiful.
Oh, that was so sweet, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the VH1 special, Dear Mama. It was very sweet. Yeah, and I got to meet some of the moms, and we were backstage getting acquainted, and it was very, very sweet.
Yeah, I could see the love in your face. It was just so overwhelming. What were you thinking as he was, you know, singing those songs to you?
I wasn't thinking. I was just completely basking in the moment and watching him and so proud of him. He's such a good artist. I mean, he's a great artist. He gives so much to his work, and he has such great passion about it, and I love that about him.
If you haven't seen Robin Thicke serenade his mother on VH1's Dear Mama Mother's Day tribute, a quick YouTube search will help you out and potentially change your life. I strongly recommend having several hankies in hand before you watch, though. And if your phone or computer is damaged from all the tears that shoot out of your eye holes, well, just remember, I warned you. Robin beautifully rearranged the lyrics of the aforementioned Friends and Lovers to turn a touching song about romantic love into one about parental love. And while I may not be talented enough to rewrite one of Robin's songs to honor his mother, I found one of my favorite thick tracks that doesn't require any reworking at all. It's a beautiful tribute to the people in our lives who keep us grounded and feeling unconditionally supported, whoever they may be. So I dedicate this beautiful Robin Thicke track to his mother Gloria, to all of the people in my own life who've been there for me, and to all of you. This is Robin Thicke with You Center Me.
When I get too high on myself, and when it gets too cold, oh, I know you'll bring me back to life.
Oh. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of his, not just his music, but the way he's kind of handled, you know, the industry and some of the things that he's experienced. I know you also wrote a beautiful song called Barely Breathing with him, and I love the message of that song. I was hoping you could talk a little about how fear can hold us hostage.
Barely Breathing came out of, I was listening to the radio, and somebody was introducing a song, or no, there was a song that was being sung, that's what it was. There was a song on the radio, and I thought I heard the phrase, something about barely breathing. And I thought, wow, what a great title. And Robin had this melody that he had written, a little piece of a melody. And I decided that that's what I wanted to, use that lyric idea. You know, when we get, this comes from my yoga training also, when we become fearful, things shut down, we pull in, we marshal our resources, and it's like we back up against the wall, ready to defend. And the breath can be shortened because we're you know, we're scared. And I just wrote a song about those times in our lives when we're barely breathing, when we've shut down so much from the freedom of expression, from being who we truly are, the ease of, that we can have of being who we truly are. And I've gotten people who have really listened to the lyrics have been very moved by it, and that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful song. That's something that I've always struggled with is fear of being myself, fear of how people will perceive me, and then
sure.
fear of doing what I want to do in case it fails. So, you know, I know that your other son, Brennan, you've done so much work with juvenile diabetes, and some people are just afraid to get involved with something that's passionate or meaningful to them. What would you say to somebody who wants to get involved but is afraid?
Well, don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that. There you go. That's easy. The rewards of being involved with something that moves your heart are so huge, because you start to work for something bigger than yourself. Again, there's that thing of backing up and being defensive in life. Some of us, for very good reasons, are very defensive about our lives. And if we can find one place where we can step out and be supported, and when people are all working together toward a common goal, even though there'll be disagreements about how to do it, there's still the overriding thing, yeah, but we have to get this done. And it's very exciting. It becomes creative. It's collaborative. You're connected to a family of people who share your value about this particular issue. So I would encourage people, you know, give it a try. It can be wonderful.
I've hopefully been able to provide comfort and support to other people through the positive psychology of pop music by sharing the songs and messages that honestly saved my life and that truly connected with me. And speaking of connecting, I related so much to what Gloria said about putting our energy into the things that truly represent us and what we want to be a part of. The artists and the listeners I've befriended through this show have made me feel understood in a way I never had before. I've had people come into my life who view the world the exact same way that I do, who literally think about everything in terms of music, just like me. To be this blessed and supported is something I hope to be very much aware of and grateful for the rest of my life. So to remind myself of that now, and to again thank every single person who constantly tries to better someone else's life, I want to play Gloria Loring's version of a song that perfectly sums up those feelings. Here she is with her beautiful rendition of Wind Beneath My Wings. I love that. You know, there's always so much wisdom in your music, too, from the Facts of Life theme to Let's Take the Time with Frederick Davis. Why are you so wise, Gloria? Where does this perspective come from?
You know what? I think we're all wise. I think we are. I think, you know, sometimes it's very funny. I had a friend who was, she doesn't like crowds of people. Well, she's gone now, but she didn't like crowds of people. And there was a conference coming up for the entertainment industry, and she was an entertainment person. And I was with her at the time. She was saying, I don't want to go to this thing. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it, or, you know, how to talk to people or this or that. And a friend of hers called who said, are you going to go to this conference? And she had him on speaker, and I'm listening. And she said, yeah. And he said, yeah. I said, I just don't want to go. You know, I don't know what to do in a big crowd of people. She proceeded to tell him exactly what to do, how to walk up to people, how to do what needed to be done, start conversations. She inspired him. And then she got off the phone and said, yeah, I don't know what to do about this conference. So often we know exactly what should be done. And in fact, a technique I use with friends or, you know, people who consult me sometimes is I'll say, okay, if you had a friend who was going through exactly your situation, what would you tell them? And almost always they come up with very wise and practical advice.
Mm.
But they forget to consult their inner self. We have access to all the wisdom we need, ultimately. If we can get quiet enough and listen and ask the right questions and be willing to accept the answers and give them a try, you know, sometimes they work. Oftentimes they work.
That's beautiful. I love that so much. I knew I would be inspired by my chat with you, and you have not let me down at all. So thank you.
Thank you.
As I said to Gloria, I knew I'd be inspired by our chat, but I had no idea just how much her words would move me and how many nuggets of wisdom she'd share. I, too, think that we can each find profound wisdom in our own experiences. It's just that sometimes we need someone else to remind us of that, especially in our darkest times. Sometimes those people are our parents, sometimes psychologists, sometimes our teachers, and sometimes people who find their way into our lives in the most unusual and beautiful of ways. And for me, Gloria Loring has represented all of those roles. I want to thank her again for taking the time to chat with me and for the positive impact she's had not just on me, but on millions of people around the world. To find out more about Gloria's book, speaking engagements, and music, definitely check out GloriaLoring.com. And for more inspiring music and exclusive interviews with other amazing artists like Gloria, remember you can head on over to ThePositivePsychologyOfPopMusic.com. Thanks again for checking out this episode, and it is my pleasure to leave you with a song that sums up so much of what we've talked about in the last hour, and that will no doubt bring a smile to your face. For The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with The Facts of Life, this is Gloria Loring.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life, the facts of life. There's a time you gotta go and show you're growing, now you know about the facts of life.